Now, I heard this very early in recovery, and I was told pretty early on that this is a bad idea. And looking back, I can understand their concern, but it's permission to trust your own heart, your own deep knowing. I knew early in recovery, and this is why I rejected many of the traditional approaches, that I needed to follow my own spiritual deepest sense of knowing and have that be or be a large part of my recovery. Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Today's episode is a companion piece to the Substack post, Losing My Religion. What else is lost when we reject the religion of our youth? Thanks for joining me in this exploration today. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, and thanks for joining me here on another edition of The Sober Shaman. And it's been a minute, more like almost 3 months now. And you'll notice the background's a little different. We had things planned, Dana, my partner, wife, and I, along with two cats, to originally come to Thailand, which we are now, but we decided that there was too many logistical problems, so we ended up aiming towards a completely different place, Cambodia. Well, not that completely different, but completely different logistically. And that all fell through with 2 weeks to go, and it was quite the process. You can read about it on her Substack, Sober Soulful, exactly what we went through, or at least what we'll share we went through. What an interesting challenge, let's just put it that way. But I am here in Thailand, and it's the end of July right now, and thank you for joining me on another edition here of The Sober Shaman. And this is a companion podcast piece to the written post, Losing My Religion. What else is lost when you reject the religion of your youth? And I want to make a podcast riff on this idea of what I wrote because it is such a common theme that people reject the religion of their youth. And this can cause some obvious problems. It's also common for very good reasons, because there are obvious reasons why this maybe should be done. But what happens when we reject the religion of our youth? What are we left with? What are a few of the possible challenges that we could be facing? I'll go through three in particular off the top of my head that I see very commonly. So the first one, and I'll try to go in order here, of the post once again. So I make the case that the sober shaman, spirituality, I keep pushing this, you need what you've lost. One of the things that gets lost, one of the biggest things and most immediate and obvious things that gets lost, is structure. Religions have a lot of structure. They have a lot of rules. They have a lot of what you should do's and what you shouldn't do's. Now, for whatever reason, and we're not going to be going into the reasons why we've rejected the religion of our youth, but I have listed some very good ones there in the post. Maybe you recognize some of them, whether it's the religion's history itself, or maybe it's the personal effects that it's had on you. through your family, through your community, or through the actual religion itself. But again, we're not going through the personal reasons of why the rejection, just the results thereof and what can be done. Just to take a look at. It's not like you need to do this. Just take a look at these things and see if you need to bring in some of these things that might have been lost when you threw out the religion of your youth, in this case, structure. What else went with the structure? Do you have clear structure in place? Because when we throw out everything, you're left with nothing. And while that provides a sense of freedom in the short term, this can be too much freedom. Talk about this in the lesson from the wood element, discipline versus creativity. I think it's about number 22, something around there in the program, where when you don't have clear structure, clear discipline guardrails in place, this affords the brain, the mind to go in every direction. That's not freedom. That can be an overwhelming sense of choices. I just talked about this with Dana the other day when she mentioned that, yoga teachers, when she goes through an online class, how is the teacher with timing? Whether it's timing in the posture, is there a sense of the right side will be the same amount of time as the left side? That's one sense of timing, the cadence, the rhythm. Will the teacher end the class on time? When the teacher does not have that clear sense of structure for time built in, I know personally for me, and this is what her and I were talking about, I have to dedicate a little portion of my brain to police my own timing. I don't want to have to do that in class. I want to surrender into having the teacher supply that sense of timing for me so that I can feel free in doing the postures. Exactly the same thing with spirituality and what we're talking about here, throwing away the religion of your youth. When you do that and you've left with nothing, what structures are you replacing it with? This is important. One of the questions I ask is, what's your origin myth? And writing this, I didn't go into detail, but this is one of the questions I'll go off here. Randy, what's so important about an origin myth? If we look at indigenous cultures and their different origin myths, I'm not asking you to plug in theirs into your belief system now, but what we can do is we can look at how their origin myth connects them not only with their religion, their culture, but it deeply connects them with their place, because often is the case where the local highest mountain may be sacred because it's part of the creation myth in some way or form. Maybe it's the path to the upper world. Maybe it's where the upper world gods have delivered something, fire, who knows? But it links them to place deeply, which is something we don't have in our Western culture of diaspora, moving around, digital nomadism. So place can be part of origin myth. Culture obviously can be part of origin myth, but also time can be part of the origin myth. The Aboriginals talk about, the dream time, and we're always dreaming this world into origin, into manifestation. So in many cases, the origin myth is right now, is recreating itself through us. So all of these examples that I give under structure, who's your God? What's your origin myth? What are the goals? Who do you meet with to join in community and share your stories? These are just offhanded questions that, you could be whipping through as you read, but each one of these is a doorway, a threshold into connection to time, to place, to ancestry, to structure. This is big stuff. This is important. And when we throw away the religion of our youth and we, that Garden of Eden myth, that story, I don't like it because X, Y, and Z. When we do that, what are you replacing it with? I don't need to replace it with anything. When we do that, we are disconnecting ourselves also from these possible gifts of having deeper insight into our place, into our culture, into our sense of what time really is and our perception of it. Important things. Number two, the second thing that can be thrown out when we throw away the religion of our youth is the full range of human expression. What do I mean by this? Well, in the Sober Shaman program, the first principle in treating addiction is that addiction affects the whole person, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Those are the four components that make up our human experience. We can slice it up in different ways, but generally speaking, that is an easy way to slice up our whole human experience into four specific, distinctly different aspects. So, when we throw out the religion of our youth, when we throw out spirituality, we are cutting off access to the gifts, the benefits, the full range of human potential from that specific quarter of our experience here as being a human. Ah, Randy, I believe in science. I've replaced the spiritual with the scientific. This is a wonderful conversation and worthy of, and probably will be the subject of more than one podcast. I don't have any problems reconciling this with spirituality. In many cases, it may be a problem. And here's what I would suggest for that. If the spiritual is completely cut off, or in this case, I'm using the example of replaced by the belief in science, let's call it that for now. What ends up happening is that replacing the spiritual with the physical, because it's no longer a belief in science, which has the scientific method, which has an open mind, which is constantly evolving and replacing and growing and not saying that it has the answers. That's where I have a problem, where we come into hard facts. Well, there's plenty of spiritual people who do the same thing. And I have just as much a problem with, no, this is the spiritual answers and here's the hard facts. God is this. There's no room for anything else. To me, that is exactly the same as people who use science in that same way. So, There's something about the openness, the open-mindedness, the open-heartedness of possibility, of listening, of receiving. Why is this important? Well, this is a good segue into the third thing that can be lost, and that is help. Help from the spirits. Help from the spiritual. What does help look like? So, when we throw away the religion of our youth, are we also throwing away the possibility of receiving help from those spirits, that line of spirituality, that line of ancestry? I use the example in the written post, and I love this idea of when maybe, just maybe, you have had, think back over the time you have in recovery, maybe it's a short time, maybe it's decades, when spirit has been knocking at the door of your awareness. Trying to give you the exact answers you've been asking for, maybe praying for, but instead of receiving them, instead of listening, being able to listen and receive, there's lots of good jokes about this, right? I forget the one about, you got a Jewish person, a Catholic person, and an Eskimo in a canoe, and they're praying to God for help because, they're stranded at sea. It's like, no, I don't want that kind of help. I'm waiting for the kind of help that I need. It's like, help came. What was wrong with the help that I, in the form of the joke, I as God, delivered to you? What was wrong with that help that I delivered? And instead, we reject it. No, that's not the help I'm looking for. I need this kind of help. Maybe it's us that need to learn to receive, to listen. I keep saying that word over and again, listening to the kind of help that is being offered to us here. And when we throw out the religion of our youth, there's a very good chance we are closing doors of reception to the kind of help that is available to us. It is a possibility. All right. So, part three of the written post I entitled Getting Them Back. How do we get these three things back? The structure, that experience, the full range of human experience, and the kind of help that is waiting for us, that is trying to deliver the help we need. And I entitled this part of the post, Shamanism, Christ, and Recovery. And I talk a little bit about my experience. So, for my experience, I'll take you back to what I wrote about in the post there. I have a very distinct memory of being about 5 years old and Christmas Eve and lying down on the living room floor underneath the tree, just staring at the manger scene for what seemed like a very long time. And for me, the reason why I was doing this was I was taking in this manger scene of the birth of Christ. Now, I never really thought about this, but I was five. I hadn't been to Catholic school yet. So looking back on this memory, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. There was a part of me lying there at five that knew this scene, that knew this person, that knew his message already. So when I went to Catholic school later on, third grade to 12th grade, four different schools, many reasons there. And it seemed like when we were being taught about the New Testament, it's like, again, I already knew this story and I was just getting some of the blanks filled in. And I was judging the way it was being interpreted for me, to me, by the priests or nuns. And I remember distinctly judging whether they were right or wrong in my own heart about their interpretation of what was going on in this story. So, from a very early age, in my bones, maybe before this life, I have no idea, it feels to me that I have this connection with Christ. And that being said, I have no problems. I had no problem and continue to have no problems integrating Christ with my shamanism, my experience of shamanism. When I speak about this, when I've spoken about this, I don't speak about it with everybody anymore for obvious reasons, and I feel them out to see if it's going to be a conversation that's going to go well before I enter it. To many Christians, that is impossible. That the integration of Christ with shamanism, they are at odds with one another. It says so somewhere, and I can't do that. Now, I heard this very early in recovery, and I was told pretty early on that this is a bad idea. You got to pick one or the other. And, in defense of what they're saying, I understand this. And looking back, I can understand their concern. And looking back, and what I'm offering you here now is not permission necessarily to avoid, but it's permission to trust your own heart, your own deep knowing. I knew early in recovery, and this is why I rejected many of the traditional approaches, that I needed to follow my own spiritual deepest sense of knowing and have that be or be a large part of my recovery, which is why I then had to dive into the paths that I dived in. Now, from the outside looking in, did it look like I rejected the religion of my youth, my Catholicism? Yeah, for good reason. I still cannot attend the overwhelming majority of masses without being able to take what I need and leave the rest and feeling triggered several times during a particular service. I like going to services that are much more super traditional and even in a different language, so I don't feel as triggered and I can then concentrate on something even deeper, usually. Anyway, the point is that early in my recovery, when I made these choices, and I did, for all intents and purposes, reject the religion of my youth, I had to impose structure. If I was going to use this personalized brand of Catholicism and shamanism, and now throw in Chinese medicine on top of that as my path of recovery, I needed to impose the structures that were going to afford me those guardrails that I had in place of a practice, of the legality of gaining a license, going through school, in Chinese medicine to be able to legally treat people. There are very good structures in place for very good reasons, legal, ethical, medicinal, to make sure that I'm qualified to do these things. And in so doing, that afforded me the freedom within the halls of that university academia to be able to then explore how I can incorporate and turn into plain English and turn into practical steps the spiritual. Important to put the structures into place. Also, the structures of a shamanic path that I went through the foundation of shamanic studies, core shamanism. For me, that's what worked. I no longer, when I got sober, was dabbling, trying a little of this, trying a little of that. No, I dived in. And from that place, was able to then have the structures to be able to study with other revered, respected, beautiful teachers, Martine Pretel, Maladoma Somei, for example, the whole men's movement and poetry and how that fits into the structure, and continue on the path and go to use those teachings to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Very important. The second thing, the full range of human emotion. How did I do that? My problem was not how was I going to be able to honor and listen to the spirit. Would that be part of my path? No, that was the major part of my path. So my problem was the exact opposite in that I neglected to spend as much time honoring and respecting the mental and the emotional components, for example, and bring that in and integrate that into the physical movement practices that I had and the spiritual ritualistic practices that I had. So for me, it wasn't that, well, should I think about bringing in the spiritual? No, I had to do that with those other two, the emotional and the mental. Respect them, bring them in, honor them, listen to the gifts that they bring in. And this is an ongoing part of my practice to this day. And then the last part is the help. So, in this aspect of help, I'm still learning, as I just said, to listen, to receive the help from spirit in new and powerful ways. And how do I continue to evolve, grow, listen to ordinary reality teachers and my greatest teachers, as I often say, are my clients, are the feedback from peers, maybe like yourself. Feel free, please send me a message, leave a comment. I love growing, evolving, collaborating. And this is how I do it. And this is how it's easy for me to go into my own little corner and do wonderful work there because I do have to go into the cave and put on, put in the tent, stay in the tent, write, explore, and then come out and then offer and then get feedback and go back in. But it's easy for me to stay sequestered, more easy for me to do that than it is to stay connected to ordinary reality help. It's been 3 months since I've done one of these. Sure, I've got plenty of excuses. I'm in Thailand. Isn't that excuse enough? the sickness physically that nailed. Oh, I've got that. All right, it's time to get back on the horse. It's time to get back into an ordinary reality, regular schedule. Put this kind of material out again. Connect with peers, clients, interested parties of all kinds. So, thank you for listening, watching, however you receive this, maybe reading the post. I do appreciate it because this is how I grow. I'm still learning to listen. Thank you for that. Again, leave any questions, comments you have on whatever format you're listening. Hit a little like button wherever you are. And I appreciate you. Till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.